You're listening to the Country Chat Podcast with your host, Dom.
Subscribe,
give a 5-star rating, and follow us on Twitter
at @country_chat.
And stay up to date.
Hi there. You're listening to the Country Chat Podcast with me, Dom. Today, I've got a member of the band Hicktown Breakout speaking to me. His name is Steve Tippling.
Hey, Dom. How you doing, right?
Hi, Steve. I'm good. How yourself?
Yeah, well, under the circumstances, not bad, mate. Keep it in there.
I can imagine. So how is this... I know we don't like talking about the big C word, but how is the coronavirus treating you and your band at the moment?
Well, I mean, the problem is, we're such a close-knit band. We spend so much time together on a week-by-week basis. We're all in isolation, obviously. There's five of us, so we're a little bit dead in the water, to be honest, mate. We got some live streams coming up next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
we're going to start doing some sort of sharing stuff. But it's quite challenging. All bands. I sympathise with the guys out there, especially the ones who are using this as music as their full time only. Way of earning money. It's a real tragic one. But yeah, we're hanging in there, mate. We're hanging in there.
Well, that's good. So you mentioned that you're going to be doing some live streamings. What media brands are you going to be streaming on? Like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram?
It's going to be certainly Facebook. Twitter, we're growing more of a reach now with that. And actually Scarlet River Management is helping us with that.
Yeah.
We're just getting our heads together at the moment. It's quite challenging because we don't have sort of professional recording equipment at each individual household. So we're very precious about the quality of music we put out. But saying that, we're going to start doing some stuff next week. It's going to be initially recorded stuff. And we're going to do it through our phones, see how that looks. And there is a couple of apps we've found. I think Twitch is one, which we're going to try that. So, yeah, we're going to try a few things.
Yep.
We're just going to keep getting our stuff out there. So, yeah, watch this space.
Well, that's the hardest thing. I mean, you released your debut EP, your self-titled EP, Hicktown Breakout, back in, was it November last year?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So with all this that's gone on now, I bet it's been difficult to really go out and push that music.
Yeah, we had a great response. I mean, obviously it came out in November. I mean, from a charting point of view, we got number 3 in the country charts, which is brilliant. We got picked by Lady Antebellum, who released their EP or album on the same day. So,
there's nothing worse than that.
Yeah, it is what it is. But we were so, we're relatively new to this market, to this sort of country market. And we were blown away with being number 3. And the biggest thing, actually, we were blown away with, we got number 36 on the all-genre charts. So it's like the old-school top 40, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Go on, sorry.
No, I was just saying, we were absolutely blown away by that. And we're sort of, last year, we're sort of finding our way, sort of understanding really where our sort of music sat. We really bridge country and rock. I'll talk a bit later about sort of where that sort of comes from, it's been great. So and gigs for this year, obviously day by day we're seeing them dropping out. Some have been scheduled for later in the year, which is great. We're all under the same situation, but it's sort of killed the momentum a little bit, but now we're focusing more online.
Yeah. Now, you were supposed to be playing Country on the Coast and Rock and Ribs. Have you heard anything from the owners of them or any of the schedules?
Country on the Coast, it looks like it's been pushed back to later in the year. We've been given a date, but I can't share that with you guys at the moment because it's not confirmed. But it's going to be potentially around September, October time.
Yeah.
Rock and Ribs, we haven't heard anything at the moment. And that's going to be a great one for us, So fingers, crossed, everything crossed, mate, that's gonna play out. So looking forward to those.
So yourselves as a band at the moment, how did you all actually meet together? Because there's five of you in your band. How did you all come about?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Dom. So Darren Willis, who's the lead singer.
Yeah.
I've known Darren for probably about 8 years. In fact, we met at a festival and we got chatting. And I was in a band before, which is more sort of prog rocky stuff.
Yeah.
And Darren had just come away. You know, he sort of finished from another band. He'd moved from London down to Bristol area, and we got chatting. And played him some of our stuff. He said, "Yeah, you know, we'll give that a go." And so he came in as a singer in that band. We did that for a few years, and it's really until 2017, really, Darren sort of described his passion for country.
Oh, so it was Darren that brought in the country vibe to the...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, me as a musician, I've been playing guitar for quite a while, but yeah, a lot of my time has been spent in the sort of rock sort of genre, really. So the concept of coming into a being a country band was a little bit sort of alien at first. But, you know, we did some, obviously looked at the market, we could see what was happening in the States, we could see that there's an emerging real foothold in the UK country scene. So, so we sort of called time on the old band.
Yeah.
And as a musician, upskilled into learning how to play country, playing rock guitar compared to country guitar is a completely different world.
Yeah.
Me and Darren, I guess you could see as sort of co-founders, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we've got Bubba, who's a drummer. Name's Tom, but we call him Bubba. He actually came to one of our gigs in Bristol.
All right.
And he loved what we were doing. Got on Facebook and found out that we were looking for a new drummer. So he came forward. We auditioned. He was brilliant. And he's in the band. So that's how we met him. There's another guy called Zach, who is the other sort of guitarist, yeah, singer as well. He's quite big on the backing vocals, but he's also a fantastic songwriter. And I've known Zach, and actually Darren and I have known Zach for quite a while. We met him actually in a music shop in Bristol called PMT.
Yeah.
And he was actually at the point of giving up music because he'd been signed. He got a record deal at 16 years old.
Oh.
And it ran for a bit. And then the fickleness of the music industry, but that came to an end. And so he's pretty much said, "I give up on music." Yeah, at that young age, who says that? But for the right reasons. So when we spoke about what we were doing, he jumped to the chance and thought this is his last chance to get back into a proper band again.
Yeah.
And, you know, we haven't looked back for that. So that's that. And then Jason Timms, who's our bass player, he's relatively new to the band as bass. So now it really feels like an absolutely solid unit, you know.
Do you feel like a family, like brothers?
Yeah, hugely, which is why this whole thing which is going on at the moment is really killing us. And we're online, we're talking to each other all the time. But I was going to say that's the best way of describing who we are. It is an absolute family, and all of us. I mean, you know, we've all got day jobs as well. Unfortunately, this isn't, you know, our full-time job, although aspirationally we would love to get there with that.
Yeah.
But realistically, you know, we've got a fair bit of work to do. But yeah, we are an absolute solid unit, and I think that's so pivotal in any band, you know, giving it longevity, you know.
So you say that you've all got other jobs as well, your main jobs. What kind of jobs do you all have?
Yeah, so Darren's a key worker. He works for Hovis.
Oh, really?
So we all need bread.
Yeah.
So he's sort of an operations guy in Hovis in Bristol. So he's described their output at the moment like Christmas size orders going out every day.
Well,
you know what I mean?
We've all seen the stockpilers going into the shops and no pasta and everything. So yeah, I can imagine bread's the same.
Yeah. So, and Zach works at the same company as well. So there goes there. I work in sort of technology, so I sell technology to the cleaning industry.
Yeah.
And obviously the cleaning industry at the moment is quite a topical one because contract cleaners going out, working on NHS, you know, going into sort of private operations as well. But the cleaning industry has got to have gone a bit mental. So
yeah.
Fortunately, I can't sit back and chill out. I've got to do some work still. If my boss is listening, he will probably kill me on that, but
I'm sure. Yeah.
And then and Jason, he works for an engineering company, but I think he's sort of in isolation and sort of furloughed at the moment, I think, so he's not doing anything. And equally, Tom also works in another engineering company, and he's in a similar situation. So some of us are working. I need that. It keeps me sane. But we're all sort of different types of work, really.
Yeah, I'm personally in engineering myself, so because I get no money from this. I enjoy the actual speaking to the artists and the bands and getting to know all you guys. And so my main income is engineering, and as of today, I have been furloughed as well. So I'm joining the clan.
Well, cheers to that, mate.
Cheers to that. So you mentioned that Zach is the songwriter amongst you all.
He's one of them, yeah.
Who was it that actually wrote your debut EP?
That's a really good question. So there's a bit of a mixture, really. So we've got Drink It Down, which was one of our first singles we really wrote. And Zach actually brought that song to the party. It was a song, like, I guess all sort of musicians, you have these songs in your head for years. And he had this banging around his head for quite a period of time. And he brought it to us. Didn't think it would have come to anything. The lyrics are very personal to him. But the music, we just took it, and between me, Darren, and Zach, we really, and all of us really, but we just listened to the lyrics and then heard about, listened to the sort of style of music we wanted. And it wrote itself within a couple of hours. And they're the best songs, they come out, they spit out that quickly. So Zach was sort of a massive contributor to Drink It Down. We've got another one, Joe Lee, which is Darren.
Yeah.
So that was purely his song, his style, the rhythm, the chords. And again, what we do as a band is get on the back of that and really look at how we can sort of lift it, what the feel is. I think Joe Lee today is probably one of our most played tracks.
Yeah, Joe Lee's been played on various BBC stations, haven't it?
Yeah, we've it's got some fantastic exposure, and it's as a first EP, that was our leading track really for the EP, and I think that really helps us got some traction with it.
Yeah.
But we're obviously now working towards our second EP. Obviously, that's dead in the water at the moment because we can't do anything.
Yeah.
But the second EP is all written. Slightly different style coming through. Still that sort of Hicktown rocky element to it, but a little bit more somber, actually. A little bit more sort of, meaningful, let's say. I mean, all, what country's like, it is about storytelling.
Yeah.
And all our songs we like to see as stories.
Well, that's one of the things I like to speak with artists about is the fact that, yes, you can have a country song and, you can have a steel guitar and you could have a slide guitar, you could have banjos, you can have everything. But as long as the storyline's there and that storytelling aspect is within that music, you've got country music.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I love about this. I mean, coming from a rock background, some of the bands I've played for, you listen to the lyrics and you go, what the? It's there's no real essence behind lyrics. And to be honest, when I've played guitar in other bands, I've never really sort of got into the lyrics. I've always been very much just tuned into the guitar sound and feel.
Yeah.
But actually with this band, I'm actually out on the stage, for example, I'm getting the words washing through me as part of the music. I love that. So Jolie is definitely our sort of lead track. We've got Roses, which again was sort of a group contributed song. Again, the lyrics came between Darren and Zach, really, on that. And that's probably our second sort of most played single at the moment. Slightly different feel to it. And then the last one was You Lied.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting track because we did have a track written, but at last minute, we sort of worked out that it sounded very much like another song, which is already out there.
Yeah.
which was, I'm not going to name names, but whoever brought that in, we sort of went, no, that ain't going to work. So we had to write a song quite quickly because we were just about to go into the studio. We recorded this EP through Puzzle Maker Studios.
Yes, based in Bristol.
Yeah, yeah, a guy called Danny Mahone and Trey, amazing producer and engineer and stuff. So, yeah, so we had like a weekend to write a song to then go in and complete the sort of four-track EP. So me and Darren, I had this riff banging around my head. I just ran it by him. He put some words together and bada-bing, there it was. So I love it. It's got a different sort of drawl about it.
Yeah.
But it wrote itself in, basically every weekend we then put that out.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. You know, when you've got songs that just flow out, they're the ones that really smack you in the face, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, the ones if you keep trying to, like, you know, trying to round peg square hole, yeah. Is, you know, you've got to actually get to a point and go, no, it ain't going to work, you know, regardless of how passionate you feel about certain parts of that song, you know. And So we've done now sort of obviously moved on to the second EP, which is now all written and ready to go. It's got to get this... this crisis out of the way and we can get back in the studio.
Have you got a sort of vague time on when you're going to release it? Obviously, it's some precedented times at the moment.
It's really hard. We had some dates teed up, but, you know, that's all gone by the by at the moment. So we're pretty much on hold. We're going to wait to what's going on here. Hopefully things in the next few weeks, maybe, doubt it. I can just be a bit clearer and we can then start booking back into studios.
Yeah. So you've got Rockin' Ribs in the future. You're hoping that, God forbid, that we actually manage to get out of lockdown, that it can fall around the same time so you can then promote it then?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say we're working with Scarlet River Management. They're going to be a key part of our journey, I guess, you know, because they've got a great reach into the country market, scene. So, yeah, we're working with, you know, people like that. We've built up a bit of a network of ourselves with people like yourself and other sort of radio channels. So and we've got a phenomenal play out in the US. We can track who's playing what around, and certainly from a website visit as well. You know, who's looking at our website, and you can download music from our website. And you know, we get these massive blips on occasions from the States.
Yeah,
and you know, so. So yeah, we feel we're getting a bit of a network together now. I mean, Darren's. We talked about Zach having a sort of a record deal in the past.
Yeah.
Darren equally has. He's been on tour with the likes of Busted.
Oh, and wow.
McFly. Yeah, back in the day, mate. So it's back in when he was a few years ago. But that's given us some access. We may potentially have access to some of the contacts from old world. But yeah, it's been some interesting journeys from some of these guys in our band.
Going to that point there with Zach and playing with like McFly and Busted. Does he before obviously this lockdown when you used to sit around and have a beer together? Does he talk about that all the time?
No, this is Darren. Yeah, no, not at all. No, I think it's old. It's, you know, it's old world. Things have moved on, and he's so entrenched with the country, like we all are now. It's just a case of, you know, can we look at some old contacts there?
Yeah,
and try to fire them up. But we're waiting for the right time. You know, we're conscious that we've only got one EP out. We've had a great response. I think the second EP is going to be even bigger. Our maturity of the music, I think, is really progressed, even in the last sort of 3 to 6 months. You know, it's of how we write music. Sound and the tone, how we put backings around it. So it's good. It's good. But yeah, no one's looking back. Everyone's looking forward, you know.
That's the main thing. So we mentioned looking forward, just looking back a little bit back to this EP. I've got a habit of looking at a EP or an album and trying to work out if there's a pattern. Now, one of the things that I've seen, obviously, and on the order of your EP, it goes Roses, You Lied, then it goes to Jolie, and then Drink It Down. To me, that almost seems like a timeline. So you've got Roses, which is very much a love song. So then you got You Lied, which is very much a punchy, almost like breakup song.
Yeah.
And then you got Jolie, which is almost like a love song. And then Drink It Down, obviously, as the title says, you know, you're drinking. It's almost like you're trying to get over somebody. There's no... obviously with having Zach and then Darren writing different songs and obviously a group collaboration, there's no actual link between everything, is there?
No, there's not. I mean, there's no. It's interesting. We thought about the order on the EP, and I think part of it was, you know, we originally launched Jolie as a single earlier in 2019, so we didn't want to use that as the sort of top of the sort of the leading track. We wanted to bring in Roses, which was the next sort of what we thought was more sort of upbeat commercial with the wider sort of audience out there like that. So we sort of looked at the audience sort of preference rather than sort of our own. But yeah, there is a theme running between some of the tracks. I mean, Drink It Down indicates about drinking, but beneath that is actually another person, quite a personal story behind it. We've had some comments back actually about, because a lot of our songs are very personal to individuals in our bands, but the way the words are put together is that we're finding that people are relating to them in slightly different ways. So they would describe a song going, oh, that reminds me of this, or a scenario like this, which is very different to where actually the song or the motive came from, you know. And I love that. You know, it's brilliant.
Well, that's basically what music is about. It's about creating those emotional ties between different people. And obviously everybody has different emotions, so...
Yeah.
So you've got your new EP coming out. And obviously with all the problems that we're having with, obviously, this coronavirus and being able to get out there, you've got your live shows coming out. Have you got anything else really coming up? Just before the lockdown, you had a photo shoot, which looked really cool on Facebook, by the way.
Cheers, yeah.
That photo shoot, how did that come about?
Yeah, well, we needed because we brought in a new bass player, so we just thought we needed to refresh, some of the sort of marketing behind the band. So again, that's a friend of Zach's, a great guy who has an American style bar in the back of his garden.
Yeah.
I mean, who does that?
I'm jealous.
Yeah, man, and seriously, I mean, we've been getting invites to go over there. Unfortunately, we're a bit spooked at the moment, but as soon as this this COVID-19 thing disappears, then we're going to be over there. It's a fully equipped bar, and in true redneck style, you know what I mean? It's brilliant. So yeah, we use that as a venue just for a sort of a quick update on for the photography. And there's a guy called Brad Thomas who did the photography for us, and he's got a great eye. We've worked with him before on photos.
Yeah, they look very smart.
So we just needed a bit of a refresh on that. But I think, you know, where we had plans, obviously, to get the EP done, to get it done really by the end of the summer, and then tour it.
Yeah.
That, obviously, you know, we've had to kill the plans around that. So we're a little bit up in the air at the moment, to be honest. Where we are, you know, we need to keep momentum out there.
Yeah.
But it's really hard at the moment to understand what the next step is. Until we really got visibility of what's going on, it's challenging.
Yeah.
You know? So this is why we thought, well, let's not stand still. Let's start putting some more live stuff out there if we can. You know, if five of us can do some streaming together, then great. If not, we're just going to put some pre-loads or pre-recorded stuff together using our phones and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Lady Antebellum, they posted on Twitter the other day of a group collaboration of the whole band performing one of the songs. Have you ever thought of doing something like that?
Yeah. That's a good idea, actually. In fact, this week we're going to have another sort of group chat. We want to look at content. We want to look at good content. But what we're very conscious of is if we record stuff through our phones, what's the sound quality like? And
quality.
I love Zeppelin, you know, as a rocker, you know. And I read a book quite a while ago, and there's a situation where they were offered, their manager went to the band and said, we've got an opportunity to be paid $1 million for one gig. This is back in the, apparently this was back in like the 70s.
Yeah.
And the band turned around and went, no, I'm not interested. And the manager's like, you know, it's like, it's $1 million for one gig. And they said, well, we're not interested because you're televising it. Yeah. So we got all these people who are going to be watching it. But they said, what's the sound quality? And at the time, these crappy little speakers, isn't it, on the television. Has that been turned down, that £1 million gig, because they knew that it wasn't representative of the sound? And we're very much the same. I think it's everything we want to put out is going to be quality, rightly or wrongly. I mean, we're obviously thinking now of different content, so maybe not so much musical, but maybe other things, you know, other things which maybe can draw in other people.
We
don't know what that looks like at the moment, but we're going to come out with a sort of a plan over the next week or so, and then we're going to start putting some stuff out there. So yeah, watch the space on that. But yeah, do you know what I mean on the music side?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, when I first started doing this podcast, the quality of the audio wasn't that good. I mean, but then you have to look at what you're doing, how to improve it, and you just want the best product out there. So yeah. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
So you record at Puzzle Maker Studios with Danny McMahon.
Yeah.
How did you actually get to know or come into contact with Danny?
Yeah, do you know what? That's a good question. So when we first put Hicktown together, I was on Facebook. I wanted to find some, who else is doing this in Bristol? Because when we first formed the band, it was a case of, okay, well, you know, is there a market? Is there an opportunity? Are we going to get gigs? Who's booking these gigs? We wanted to start locally to build up a local fan base, obviously. Just looking through Facebook and stuff, I think Danny approached me or vice versa. It was on a link or something. And we just started chatting. I think I started, he's a bit ahead, he's a couple of years ahead of us. So I think he was putting out some of his singles, which I thought, that's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously then, you know, understood more about what he did with Puzzle Maker, and I thought it's great. It'd be a great place for us to get our EP out there. You know, work with a country focused studio, basically. So yeah, it was really through Facebook.
So what's it like? Obviously, you get the band together, all five of you. Like, yeah, we're ready to go. You've got your new drummer, you've got your bass guitar, you've got your lead guitars, and you go into Puzzle Maker Studios. Is it like, wow, we're here now, let's do this? Or is there a case of sit back, take it in? Or
yeah, we had a quite short period of time, so we had sort of a couple of days to record, and then a sort of a third day for the sort of, you know, sort of snag in a bit of production, and then all the mixing side. So we had to be we had to execute quite a lot. But what we found is actually we came into the session slightly under-rehearsed because the songs were still quite new.
Yeah.
They weren't really matured. So I, as a musician, have always been a little bit relaxed with things, maybe. I think as we go forward, I need to be more focused on coming in with a absolute guitar parts nailed, the solos nailed. But I'm quite confident going in and going, that's how it spins, you know. And so that really actually, a lot of the input, I mean, Danny and Dre, you know, helped and put a bit of input around some of the things. But majority of that was us sitting down, spending half a day on each song, just spitting it out.
Yeah.
And the end result we thought was brilliant.
Well, that'll go back to, you know, your Rocky days, you know, because at the end of the day, when you're playing guitar in rock, you're looking for the rhythm of the music rather than the lyrics, the rhythm behind the lyrics. Or as like you mentioned earlier, with country music, it's completely different.
Yeah, it is. And do you know what? I mean, when we first put Hicktown together, we actually put it together as a covers band.
Yeah.
Just to sort of say, okay, let's try and get, because we had some obviously contacts and connections with venues in Bristol, so we thought, let's quickly put something together. Let's look at this type of style of music, and this is still current today. But some of the influence, the modern influences, were sort of Dave Nordine, Chris Stapleton, Cadillac Three, Blackberry Smoke, quite the rocky end of it, you know.
Yeah.
And that felt quite natural for us to sort of play. So we built up quite a quick set list, and started taking that out. But obviously, as things evolved, we moved on to, you know, we always wanted to be writing our own sort of material.
So before, obviously, the lockdown, when you was going out gigging, did you go to, say, pubs, clubs, the usual?
Yeah. I mean, the sort of pubs, more sort of music clubs. And it wasn't just Bristol, actually, we were starting being booked up in the southeast as well.
Yeah.
People, we had one gig, which is crazy, in Kent, which was for, it was an arena. We thought, yay, our first arena gig. Yeah, baby. And it was a horse arena. It was apparently where the British Horse Riding Championship are held. So it's a horse arena.
Fair enough. It's a unique place.
Yeah, and it was basically it was like the Kent equestrian community, and they saw us and they directly contacted us. In fact, they contacted us through Rachel or River Management. So that gig came through them because they were looking for a sort of an upbeat country rocky sort of band. So that was cool. But yeah, most of the venues were things like the Thunderbolt.
Yeah,
well, a small but quite a well-known place in Bristol. The Fleece, which I'm no stranger to the Fleece. I've played that quite a few times before in the rock band. I think our first gig was December last year.
Yeah,
And we were actually booked onto quite a heavy rock bill. We actually headlined, and everyone loved it. You know, we had different genres of rock playing that night, and we thought, hang on, everyone's going to leave, aren't they? As soon as we can get to us, they're going to be out the door, because it's like, who are these guys in Stetsons? And,
yeah.
and everyone stayed. It was a massive night, and everyone was so complimentary. All the bands, all the fans and stuff, who will come from different ages as well.
Yeah.
So the Fleece is great. Louisiana, we played a few times. And then obviously, yeah, there's some sort of local sort of pubs we've played, but we're sort of moved away now from the sort of pub venues. It's more now, you know, festivals and sort of proper music venues.
Yeah. So when you was playing your pre-gigs before your newer music, obviously you're playing the cover songs, the Chris Stapletons, what was your go-to song, so to speak?
Yeah, good one. So the sets were really around, we mentioned things like Blackberry Smoke. So we got songs from that, like Good One Coming On, those sort of things. Chris Stapleton so I got a list of some of the old covers we used to do. So Tennessee Whiskey,
yeah,
which we still play today. I'm afraid a lot of people ask us still to play that.
That is a fantastic song, though.
Oh, man, is it? And Darren's got an amazing voice, which really rolls. He's got a naturally natural American twang to his voice,
yeah,
which is mostly handy. That song is great. I mean, the other ones, Luke Combs, again, yeah, he's great. And you know, things like When It Rains, It Pours, that sort of stuff. So that sort of style. But then we got Cadillac 3 as well. You know, we try to build a bit of a journey, so it's something it's sort of more country twang, more through to the sort of the rocky edge, you know.
Yeah.
You know, trying to cater for the sort of different people we're getting through the door. So, yeah, I mean, I can go on forever. I mean, Luke Bryan, 5150, we still play that. We love that song.
Fantastic song.
Man, definitely. In fact, we recorded that when we put a demo together in 2018, and we did 5150. We did, what was the other one we did? I'll Play It Again.
Yeah.
5150 was Dirk Spendling, wasn't it? So Luke Bryan, Play It Again. Yeah. So that was different. And then we got something like Been Up to Memphis, that's a great song as well. It's around those sort of names. Really, I think the style which we enjoyed at the time, and we've taken some of that style still moving forward, but there's a lot of old school backing as well. I mean, Darren's, you know, things like Garth Brooks and like Chuck Berry and Johnny Cash, and you know, he was brought up with country, and a couple of other guys as well. Zach as well had a lot of Elvis and rockabilly in this. So we got a crazy mix, man, of influences, which it's obviously has helped us get to where we are now.
Yeah. So have you ever thought of doing like a covers album? Just for your own personal use.
I think it's a difficult one. I mean, it's a really good question, because if you went onto YouTube, there's an hour long video of us playing all our favourite covers. And in fact, those covers are the ones which we've been gigging.
Yeah.
So, you know, would we want to record them? Probably not. I mean, obviously we want to create, it's important for the next couple of years that we get our name out there, and we need to be seen as originals band, which we are.
Yeah.
We sort of started as covers. Would we do it later down the line? Yeah, possibly, you know, but I think at the moment, it's just from a branding point of view, we just need to make people aware that, you know, we're not a covers band, we're purely an originals band.
Oh, definitely.
But we love bringing in some of the more modern stuff, because we know the audience, you know, sort of wants it.
Well, it's a big selling point, that. I mean, if somebody wants to listen to a cover, if they want to listen to you singing a cover, come down to your gigs.
Absolutely. Good plug. Love that.
That's it. So going into seeing new music, can you tell us more about the, you know, what songs are on there, or is it all just trying to keep it hush-hush at the moment?
Yeah, no, there's a bit of a mix. So we've got, I'm not going to give you any spoilers at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get.
Yeah, of course you are. we're going to drip feed a few bits and pieces out. I mean, once we know where we are with the recording and the dates,
yeah.
And then with the release, we want to tour it. There's a real mixture, and I mentioned earlier, some of them are quite somber, not from the sound sonically. It's big sound, you know, and that's the feedback we've had from a lot of our live gigs, that we create quite a big sound. I know there's five instruments, so that really helps. And we got, you know, two to three on backing vocal, or, you know, three on the vocals and as such. Some of them are quite emotional, actually. Okay. Again, they've come from true sort of life experiences.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name who they've come from, actually, in the band at the moment, but there's been some real, there's some quite serious sort of themes behind it.
Yeah.
Put into the music, it comes across as upbeat, but an element of sort of, I guess, somberness is maybe one way of describing it.
Yeah.
There is one song, I'm going to say it, it's called Get Your Boots On.
Get Your Boots On.
And, oh, yeah, baby. And, you know, that's probably going to be on the front, that's probably going to be our intro song for live sets, because it is such a boot stomper, mate.
That's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, it's a total crowd pleaser. And then as we work through the EP, you're gonna start seeing some other sort of very big sonic sounds.
Yeah.
But from the lyrics, again, they're gonna sort of resonate with some people. People might know what they're about. Others will probably take them and put them into their own experiences. So
they're
very open lyrics, let's say, which is what I love about this band. You know, we seem to have a way of writing lyrics which we think can resonate with lots of people. But yeah, it's going to be a slightly different. There's a bit more maturity about our sound as well, guitar wise. You know, Darren plays acoustic. Obviously, I'm on lead, but also, you know, contribute quite a bit on rhythm. Zach is rhythm, but also he's a very accomplished guitarist.
Yeah.
And you know, we have little battles sometimes in gigs. So I said, no, that's my lead solo. He's like, no, I'm going there, mate. Sort of, you know, which I love that. There's no sort of, I'm a lead guitarist and he's a rhythm guitarist. We all contribute.
When you're laying down your tracks, how do you decide who's going to be the lead guitar? Who's going to do X part of the song? Who's going to do Y part of the song? Do you sit down and draw straws, or?
No, not at all. What we tend to do, our writing, what we do right now is basically we'll have a session. We rehearse a lot, so we go to sort of practice places around Bristol. But from a writing point of view, because we're so on page now, what we do is we'll come around my house, or go around Darren's house, do a few beers in a chilled out environment.
That's the best
time. Yeah, man, and we'll just spin it. And normally, if the song works, so we'll either write the lyrics during the session, someone will come forward with a riff, they'll go, yeah, can we do that, but maybe take that there, or maybe change that in the key, or get that capo out, and, you know, it tends to evolve. And then one evening, we would have a song, actually, you know, and I think the four songs we've written have pretty been that, us sitting around in a circle with a few beers, chucking stuff at each other. And then Darren sort of trying to scribble some lyrics down. Or Zach would have brought some lyrics too. So I got some lyrics. I don't know what the music's going to sound like. And, you know, we sort of, forged this song. And, you know, some of them we thought, yeah, ain't not going to work. We'll bend that. But, there's a real creativity.
Yeah, it goes back to what I was saying. You know, you're almost like brothers. Just having a laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And I think in, you know, band dynamics is a tricky one, isn't it? You know, and we're fortunate that we got, you know, a good group of guys. We're all on the same page. And, we're really, really loving what we do. And I think, you know, that's going to help us for the test of time. And, you know, we're all in it for the long game.
So when you're sat down, laying down, you know, having a laugh, basically, what kind of drinks are you all drinking? Do you drink beer? Does everyone say don't drink whiskey?
Yeah, I'm quite a beer man, so I like my ale, plus the Jack Daniels. Darren's quite a lager man, so he loves his sort of lager.
Yeah.
Jason, he's sort of Jack Daniels guy as well. Zach's not such a big drinker. It's not a bad thing. And Tom, again, not a huge drinker though. But it's beer and whiskey, man.
You see,
it does help.
I love a good whiskey. Not being an alcoholic or anything, but yeah.
Yeah, I've had Tusker's had a deal on Jack Daniels the other day. I was like, I'll have some of that. So.
Perfect timing.
And the bottles are gone, mate. They're gone. What is it with Jack Daniels? It just goes down like water.
Well, that's it. I mean, you get a bottle and next thing you know, the bottle's gone. I don't know what happens.
It's the Jack Daniels ferry, mate. They, I think they come and siphon it.
That's it. I mean, it used to be fuel. Now it's whiskey. So how did you actually meet, like, Rachel Selick from Scarlet River Management?
We were introduced, really, by Danny.
Yeah?
So, because I know Rachel and Danny... you know, there's a they work together.
Yeah.
You know, Scarlet River Management is relatively new, I think, but it's obviously I think Danny is one of the records or one of the artists he promotes.
Yeah.
In fact, we've just got a bit more formal now with Scarlet River Management. They're going to be acting as our sort of basically our main point of contact for booking gigs.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, we needed some support because. We need someone who knew the country industry. Obviously, we've developed some of our own network and contacts, but you know, we've decided that they can commit more time to it. You know, we're trying to manage juggle our day jobs and trying to write music, it just felt like a natural sort of decision to go with those guys. So we got some what feels like now some more sort of formal representation, and I think that helps as well when. We want to target certain venues up and down the country. You know, Bristol, for example.
Yeah.
We want to be sort of the go-to band for any touring bands coming through who are sort of a country or southern rock style music, country, you know, more sort of country rock element.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be the sort of go-to, we want to be known as
the band to go to.
And yeah, absolutely. And I've seen Bubbly Smoke, TC3, and I've seen some of the bands supporting them. I think, well, there's no reason why we can't. The quality is there. No reason why we can't do that. But I think having contact from a band to a promoter is okay, but probably not taken seriously. I think if you get contacted by a management company, then potentially you're going to get booked on notice and you come across in a bit more professional way. So it's a bit of a marketing thing as well. You know, they're fronting themselves as someone for help us book gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm good friends with Rachel. She's a fantastic person in what she does, you know, for the industry. I mean, she's helping Danny, she's helping Kelsey Bovey, there's a load of people in her roster, and she's really bringing Bristol and Cardiff into the country scene. Are you looking forward to being under that roster?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, we're already sort of on their website, but we've recently sort of, you know, formulated a bit more of a formal plan with them now, so... it's what we've been talking about for a while, and we had looked at a few other options of someone being our management, but to be honest, a bit of a no-brainer, Rachel. plus she's very creative on the social media side of it as well. Yeah. So it's not just filling up the diary. We want to play quality gigs, not quantity of gigs, which is why we're sort of coming away from the sort of pubby gigs. Although we still got to keep a local presence. We're really conscious of that. But, you know, we want to start here in London more. And, you know, we think Scarlet River Management are making some connections out there potentially. It's just going to make us look more professional, or presenting us in a more professional way. But, yeah, really looking forward to working with Rachel. And she's got a team behind her as well. I met another guy called James.
Yeah.
We had a social media sort of meeting a few weeks ago. And very, very switched on guys.
So social media-wise, they can find you on Twitter at Hicktown Break.
Yeah.
What's your Facebook? Is it under the same name?
Hicktown Breakout.
Awesome.
Yeah, Facebook.
So we'll be looking at, obviously, live streams for you in the future. Are you doing those live streams through, say, other country websites, or is it going to be done through your personal band website?
We haven't decided yet, actually. We know people like the groups. We know Karen very well. We're hoping to meet Karen from Forever British Country.
Yeah.
She was going to come down and see us at the Country on the Coast Festival. But in fact, we're going to do an interview there. Plus, they wanted us to do a sort of an acoustic set as well. So hopefully we'll have the opportunity to those guys later in the year.
Yeah.
I mean, from a platform point of view, yeah, I mean, Facebook definitely, and we've got good following, about 3,500 followers now, and that's sort of creeping up, you know, week by week, which is brilliant. Facebook is good. YouTube is where we're a little bit behind at the moment. What we don't have is high quality videos.
Yeah.
You'll see some bits and pieces on there at the moment. So it's okay. But again, it's going back to what we said earlier about, you know, we want to be a quality brand out there, and it costs money, you know, to make quality videos. And I think we've been putting our money into things like the EP, and also buying equipment for the band, you know, having good quality. So we plough money back into the band. But the next step is definitely quality videos, because we know that people look at that, you know, from a fan base point of view, want to see that, but also from future venues, even festivals, first port of call is probably going to go to YouTube. So we're a little bit, so we got some work to do on that, but certainly plans probably for later in the year on that, videos.
Well, hopefully we'll be seeing you at C2C in the coming years.
Hey, that will help, mate. Yeah.
Be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're looking for, we've got our sights on a few sort of good few festivals coming up, probably for next year. So just going to get all our ducks lined up, you know.
Yeah. So as a band, obviously now you've got Scarlet River Management behind you. Beforehand, you'd have to sort out your own gigs. What's it like trying to get hold of getting into country on the coast and Rock and Ribs? What's it like as a band trying to get into there? Is it difficult or?
Yeah, I mean, to think of how Country on the Coast came around now. I'm not sure if it came through Scarlet River or because Lily Garland, isn't it, who runs it?
Yeah.
I think our name, it might have been influenced by Scarlet River Management, I'm not sure, but we got the approach by Lily to say, you know, we want you on the bill. Are you available? So that's great. I mean, you know, to any band out there who applies for all these festivals, you know, you don't get responses, you don't get any feedback.
Yeah.
Why they think it? Because these guys are too busy and they can't answer 200, 300, 400 emails about why I didn't get booked, you know. So I think we like the idea of obviously Scarlet River taking that some of that responsibility onwards. Plus, they're obviously going to be mapping up a database of other venues across the country, which they can then use for their other bands. So it's quite a new area for them, I think, at the moment. And we're going to help them with that.
Well, fingers crossed.
The other bands in there under their banner is going to benefit from it. But from an experience point of view, we've been quite fortunate with gigs. We've got most people tend to find us. So we've got a gig with the Hells Angels.
Yeah.
We played that last year. Brilliant guys, absolutely fantastic guys in Bristol. We've booked this year. Playing on that one.
Oh, wow. So
what's it
like as a band? You've got your EP out and you hear it on the radio for the first time. What's it like actually sitting there and hearing it? Was you all gathered around the radio or?
Yeah, it's such an amazing feeling. Because I've played in bands before. I'm no strangers to studios, but they've always been more demos to book gigs rather than this stuff's going out online. Now people go on the radio. So it was the best feeling ever to you know, stick it on your radio and hear it come out. It's amazing. I felt so proud of myself, actually, and also with the boys of what we've done.
Yeah.
We're quite perfectionists because I think we look at that music now and go, oh, yeah, if we do that slightly differently, or, yeah, we could put that. But actually, taking a step back, we're really proud as our first EP, quality-wise and musically-wise, brilliant. But, yeah, it's an uplifting feeling to have your music come out. And it's just reassuring that we think it sounds great, other people do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well,
for writing in the future, I think if we know that song's not quite kicking it, then, or if the song's brilliant and we think, oh, people are going to love this, then at the moment we'll probably hazard a guess that others are going to like it as well, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I like to play music around the house all the time, and the people I live with, they are mainly like pop and classic, you know, your normal, what you'd find on BBC Radio 1. But I've been playing your music around for the past week now, and everybody loves it. Even though it's a country rock, it's got a bit of blues into it. It's something completely different to what they'd listen to, but they've all loved it. I love your music as well, so.
Pretty cool. Yeah, we had some comments back from people, mainly through Facebook. We had video clips of people playing our music in their office and stuff like that. And again, that's like, I love that. You know, it feels like we brought our music and people have really got hold of it. But there's loads of little stories which have come through, again, maybe through Facebook. Some people are playing in a car. In fact, I think Zach drove past someone the other day who had it blaring in the car, which is a bit, I mean, what's the chances of that happening? There is. So, yeah, it's five of us are going, wow, bigger response than we thought we'd get.
Yeah.
You know, as a first EP. But I think, secondly, I think we've all taken back from it that this has got some real potential. But we know that even from the second EP, which we're going to be recording hopefully shortly, there's more maturity in it, you know. And I hope the fans and you guys, you know, are going to sort of pick up on that.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, I've got no music background to me at all. I mean, I dabbled in the guitar, you know, when I was 10 years old, but now I've got nothing. So I just enjoy the music. And it's a great position to be in right now where I'm at, being able to talk to somebody like you who produces great music.
No, that's great. I mean, when you checked out your sort of feed and stuff, obviously. How long have you been doing this?
Since January, February, but I've had it planned since October last year, trying to get all the equipment in and trying to get everything started, and one problem after another, and then it just gets delayed, and then I think I started middle of February, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I'm going to reverse the interview now on you. sort of, you know, what do you see what do you see out there at the moment, you know, emerging new music? I mean, the reason I asked the question is that if you go back to the old school rock days, you had sort of AC/DC sort of fell in that chord, and then you got Deep Purple in that chord, and you could sort of you have sort of genres within the genres, but not that many. And then rock, obviously, today is so many different genres, you know, for the right reasons. With country, I see it sort of going slightly the same way. I guess all music does to a point. There's more sort of subgenres within subgenres. I mean, are you starting to see that?
Well, particularly. Your band is really one of the main ones that really stands out in that sense, because I love to brand everything as country. There's always a way to make something into country. Now, your Hicktown Breakout is very much a mixture of heavily into country and with the lyrics, and then you've got a lovely prog rocky bluesy twinge to the actual, say, the guitar riffs and even the drum beat. It's just that catchy, punchy rhythm to it. It's really, I find quite addictive.
Yeah, nice one. No, I think I don't like the word commercial. We're not here to.
Oh, you're definitely not. You're not a commercial. I personally don't think you're a commercialized sound.
That's good. Yeah,
you're very much your own sound. Now, you mentioned that you've been doing covers from like Chris Stapleton. I can imagine him singing his songs, but in Darren's own way.
Yeah. No, we pay homage to the covers. We haven't overly. I mean, from a music point of view, we try to get as close to it as we can. But you're right, from a lyrics point of view or a vocal execution point of view. Yeah. You know, if you listen to the stuff, and if you guys on your show are going to listen to Darren's voice, you know, he's got a very unique style of singing. It's not a traditional drawl country, you know, but that's not him. You know, we're all doing things very naturally. And no, that's really good feedback. And, I hope you like the second EP, mate.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Can't come quick enough.
Yeah, no, you and me both.
Well, certainly I'll be sharing it out when you do release a new EP, and I'll be certainly sharing your current EP as well. It's phenomenal. I love it.
Brilliant. No, that's really great. And these guys like yourself help us, you know, getting us out there and spreading the word. We know that we'll be getting a bit of a following now. But it's just reassuring, because we're not a traditional country band. You know, we don't fit a box at the moment. And I think that's not a bad thing, because we want to be original. There's lots of great people, certainly around Bristol as well, just locally, who are, you know, brilliant singer songwriters, and definitely in the sort of very clear country genre. They do brilliant stuff.
Yeah,
we didn't want that. We don't want to try to be country. We want to be country influenced, because we got a lot of that in the band, but we also wanted to be ourselves. And I think the first EP is a bit of a result of showing what we're like as musicians, and what we want to take to them, you know, take out there. You know, the music's going to change, but I think the feel of it is going to stay the same. The sort of the style, the execution, the sort of solos. You know, I used to be in the old rock world, lots of finger tapping and all sorts of stuff. You know, but that's it's all bending now, mate. You know, I don't want a solo to be an outright blaster solo, because you know what I'm saying. So it's definitely a moving target, but just a rounding point on that, we got quite a few reviews on the EP, and I only saw the good reviews, so I didn't see any bad ones.
Yeah,
but the there's one which described us as crossover country.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and that was a term actually we may use as how to describe
our
music.
Definitely,
you know,
definitely.
Because it sits between country and rock. And I think the reviewer sort of makes it that there are some, it's beginning to emerge a little bit of this sort of country and a rock sort of, you know, country rock's been out there for years, but you ask 10 people who love country what country rock is or who they are, they'll come out with 10 different people with 10 different styles. So country rock is a huge sort of, you know, window. But crossover country in the UK could be, you know, we love that. And I think that sort of summed us up.
It sounds like it needs its own new genre title, like rock country or something.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to write that one down, mate.
One of the things I wanted to say as well is, especially Roses on your EP, the opening guitar riff on it is just so melodical. It's so beautiful, really. Beautifully written.
It was a fluke.
Was it?
Yeah. It started off in the bass chords there, and when we laid down the tracks, it was a case of, again, I'm going to put homage to Danny and Dre from Puzzle Maker on this one, because we just needed something at the front. And I think people were playing around with an idea of just a couple of bending notes and stuff like that. I thought, okay. So I think the guys went down, they went out for a fag or something, or grabbed some beers and some drinks.
Yeah.
And I think I had like 10 minutes. And it was just a couple of really, really simple sliding notes. Yeah, that sort of makes the song.
It does. It's
the tiny little things musically that makes the song.
Yeah.
That wasn't planned. It was a complete fluke.
I mean, the song itself, it's like I mentioned earlier, it's basically, it's a lovely take on a love song, because the main chorus, it says, "Kiss me before the roses die." Now, when you hear "Kiss me before the roses die," that sounds quite a negative term, but in essence, when you listen to the song with the music, it sounds very, very romantic.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you into a little secret. I mean, I guess the best person to ask around the lyrics and the meanings is probably Darren, but and Zach. But it's actually about a stalker.
Oh, really?
That's I'll leave that with you on that one.
So,
give you an idea where stuff come from, man.
that shows it. I mean,
doing the stalking. I think it was other parties stalking people in our bands. Well, it's a crazy thing.
That almost proves my point earlier, the fact that people take music in completely different contexts. So I've taken that as a love song, and it's about a stalker.
Well, it is. There is an essence of love in there.
Yeah.
So it's before the love ran out, basically. That is actually, I mean, so, I guess that's traditional. That's where we fit traditional country style, I guess, of writing, is that there is a lot of love song related stuff in our music.
Yeah.
Or drinking, which again is, you know, it's very traditional. But yeah, it's that sort of, you know, relationship sort of stuff, which you could sort of execute as a jovial, quite funny sort of scenarios, or you got, you know, proper serious relationships which go pitong and, you know, people mentally are destroyed from it, you know. And So I think we'll probably continue. I'm not going to give too much away on the new stuff coming out. You have to wait for that. But yeah, interesting, you know, how people do and listen to things and make their own interpretations of it.
Well, you've certainly got a big fan in me, and I'm looking forward to the new stuff coming out. Like I said,
very much, mate. No, that's great. Yeah, great.
Hopefully it's soon, but obviously we never know.
We'll get there.
All right, so we're getting towards end of podcast, and what I like to do is I like to ask a couple of quick fire questions, try and work out what kind of things you like personally, what kind of things you don't like. So I'll start, really. So if you had to choose, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee? What biscuits would you have with the coffee if you have
chocolate?
Chocolate biscuits?
No.
Any particular brand?
McVitie's.
McVitie's? Chocolate digestives?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, banging. So beer or whiskey?
Whiskey.
Whiskey? Well, you mentioned earlier Jack Daniels. Is that your go-to brand?
Yeah, the JD, all the types. So you got like the Gentleman Jack, you got Tennessee. Oh, you got the Fire, you got the Jack Daniels Fire.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels is a genius thing.
Just Jack Daniels in general?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have it straight or with ice or with a mixer?
Straight with a couple of cubes.
Straight with a couple. Oh, beautiful. That's how you got to drink whiskey. I mean, I do Slimming World, and I go on a bit of a tangent now, but I do Slimming World, so I've got to stay healthy. Now, one of the healthier drinks I can have alcoholic-wise is either like vodka, your white spirits, or whiskey. So to make it last, I have to mix Diet Coke with it, otherwise I'll just be down, I'll be down in the...
Right. My younger days used to be Jack Daniels and Coke, you know?
Yeah.
Occasionally I do have it because I quite like a long drink of it, you know, but this is why it goes down too quick, you know. My measures are quite big and but they're quite normal measures for me. So when you go into a pub and you sort of ask for a single,
that's like a drop.
We were in Europe, my family went to, we did a bit of a European vacation last year, and which is barking crazy, the amount of miles we travelled, but wicked. We went to loads of different countries, and I can't remember which country it was now. It might be Belgium, actually. And we went to this bar, and I ordered a Jack Daniels, and I said, "Oh, I'll do a double." And they pulled a double, and I was looking at it going, "No, double." So they then put another double in. And I went, "Oh, that's more like it." And Justin said, "Right, you know, you just ordered like four shots of Jack Daniels. It's probably going to be like 50 euros," which it was. It was,
really?
It was such a... I was like, "Hang on a minute. What's going on here? Is that just me? Or, I don't want it to evaporate before I drink it."
You just sound like they're fleecing you.
Yeah.
So where's your favourite holiday destination then?
Oh, my God. Italy.
Italy. Oh, it sounds like it's a difficult decision. Where have you been?
We've done. Holidays, we've up until last year, we've done sort of Greece, sort of Turkey, Egypt. Egypt rocks, it's a crazy place, you know.
Yeah.
But very, very traditional sort of, you know, holidays. The European thing was crazy. We drove 2,500 miles. Oh. We did sort of Belgium, Switzerland, Austria, Germany. How big is Germany, man?
Oh,
the country
my God.
Is... we did Germany, and we ended up in Lake Garda in a campsite. And Lake Garda was awesome. It's a crazy, crazy place. But I don't know them. I mean, it's a difficult one.
How did you not kill each other?
I'm going to say Lake Garda, just for the hell of it.
How did you not kill each other in care?
Yeah. and also, we had a dodgy battery. It didn't start the car
the
time. And we got all the way to Lake Garda. It was sort of the furthest point in our trip. And parked up, got the tent out, got it sorted. We did have a big fridge in the car, by the way. I blame that for draining the battery. Although the car was running all the time, I don't know what happened, but I think we caned the battery. So we parked up, and since we got to Lake Garda, the car just intermittently, it's one minute it'll start lovely, next minute it just wouldn't want to start. Of course, that sowed the seed of doubt in your head. So all this 1,000-mile drive back was a little bit interesting. We got stuck in Austria, I think.
Yeah.
Son Jack. We're coming. You know, we're in the town. We're sort of in the car park, and it wouldn't start. We're just looking at each other, going, "That's sake." And Jack had been quite a level head. He's just turned around. He said, "There's a van there. They might have some jump leads." So, so we just asked, and they had jump leads, and they got us going.
Fair enough.
But it was all right. So that was added. We thought added to a bit of stress, but we took it in our stride. The last bit was when we got on the Channel Tunnel.
Really?
So we queued up on the Channel Tunnel just before going back to the UK. We were at the front row. Car didn't start. Everyone was like going around us. With the guys who work at the Channel Tunnel help us, they said, yeah, we'll sort you out in a minute. It was like, yeah, that'd be like, sort me out tomorrow.
Yeah.
They just wanted to get all these cars on. Anyway, we eventually, some Germans helped us start it. We got onto the train. As we were going back down, there was a guy behind me going, I was thinking, shit, just imagine this isn't going to start. You know, there's a guy in a big, expensive Range Rover. And so I just sort of knocked on his window. It's a bit weird, like, why are you touching my car? And he sort of put his window down. We've got problems with our battery, so we might not start. And it's like, okay, window won't back up. So we were anticipating a bit of problem then.
Yeah.
But it did start, and we got home. So, yeah,
it sounds like
Chevy Chase's European vacation, but it's not far off.
It certainly adds to the memory to it.
Yeah, we parked it now. I'm not going to do Europe for a bit.
All right, so last question is, if you had to choose a fast food restaurant, where would it be?
Oh my God. I've got to go Burger King.
Burger King?
Yeah.
What would you have from Burger King? Just the
Whopper? Man. Burger King is just so big and they just got so much in it. I normally go like the double burger with the bacon, the tomatoes, almost like BLT, but you got me thinking now. Yeah, no, I'm gonna go with my first option. So yeah. Burger King.
Fair enough. The problem that I find with Burger King is the buns are too sweet.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, they don't hang around for long, though. I'm normally on a train I normally get them when I go to Paddington, so it's like, train's got 10 minutes, quickly stuff it down. So that doesn't really touch the size, but big old burger.
Well, that's the main thing. Every train station you go to almost has a Burger King.
Yeah. Yeah, we've plugged a few brands today. We've got some Burger King going there. Daniels. Do you think we should get some revenue back from this?
Oh, fingers crossed. thanks for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it, Dom. And it's these sort of shows that really help us, selfishly help us get our know-how. But Yeah, it's great to talk to people like yourself, mate. So, yeah, thanks again.
Well, end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about getting your brand out there and getting other people to see new music.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll keep you posted on the new EP. The website, it's got all our current gigs on at the moment. Obviously, a couple of those are coming off. But the gigs which are posted at the moment are still, we believe, on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep an eye on that. Facebook stuff will keep posting out. Yeah, hopefully we're going to get the EP done, and then we'll talk about some tour dates.
So yeah, if everybody search for Hicktown Breakout on Twitter, Facebook, and it's the same for the website, isn't it? www.hicktownbreakout.com.
Yeah, it's only Hicktown Break on Twitter or Instagram. So I think they've got a certain amount of characters, but yeah, you put Hicktown Breakout, it'll come out. If you go to the website, then it's got all the links to all the other social media.
Awesome. Where can they find your music as well then?
Yeah, I mean, Spotify, iTunes, you can download actually from our website as well. I've undercut iTunes. so you can buy merch. We've got a load of CDs in as well. I haven't put that up on the website yet, but you can get the... I'm not here. Yeah, we've got a ton of CDs to go as well. So, and also our gigs, you know, we've got a lot of merch we want to flog as well. Hats, T-shirts. Good one.
So there you go. Everybody check it out. Everybody check out the website and, yeah, check out the music. It's absolutely fantastic. And once again, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Steve.
Thanks, Dom. All right, mate. You take it steady, yeah?
And you as well. Stay safe.
Thanks, mate.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye, everybody.
That was the Country Chat Podcast.
Join Dom next time for exclusive interviews, reviews, and general chit-chat on all things country music.